So in a short moment, we will be taking up the Lord's Supper together. But I don't know about you, but certainly for me and my family, it's that time of year when we become a little bit more green-fingered. We start gardening. Okay. My mum's garden is pretty long, and it's a lot of work. And it's kind of full of thorns. Anyone got a garden a bit like that?
Yes.
Yeah. But it's amazing about these thorn bushes that we often have, that they can, we so often curse them, but at the same time they also contain a blessing. For example, the rose bush or the rose tree. We curse the massive thorns if they dig into your finger, but at the same time the incredible blessings of the flower and the scent, we have to go along with it. Think about maybe some brambles. We have brambles in our back garden. We curse the many plentiful thorns. I have scars on my hand from those thorns from not long ago. And we curse those thorns, but at the same time, we also enjoy the blessings of the fruit come September time with the delicious blackberries. Can anybody else think of any other thorny bushes or trees that give off that there are blessings to go along with them? Gooseberries.
Yes.
Are they a blessing? I'm not sure about that. Okay, I'll let you have it. Okay, gooseberries, definitely. Anything else?
You've got nettles and nettle tea.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Okay.
Blackberries.
Yes, I mentioned blackberries, but blackberries get another vote, obviously. We like blackberries. That's true. That's true. So there's something very spiritual about this dichotomy between the thorns and the fruit, between the curse and the blessing. So, children, what was it that was placed on the head of Jesus before he went to the cross?
It was
a crown of thorns. This isn't a thorny crown. I was prickling my hands too much, so I went for some vine instead. But yeah, so a crown of thorns was placed on the head of Jesus. Children, why was it placed on his head, do you think? Why did that happen? Any ideas? Adults, would you like to help out? To humiliate him. To say, well, if you really are the king of the Jews, then here is your, you need a crown, of course. So here is your crown. In order to understand the curse and the blessing, though, of thorns and this spiritual connection, we need to go back to Genesis chapter 3. And we need to go to the fall. You don't have to turn there. But the fall, as we know, is when sin entered the world for the very first time. When Adam and Eve did something very bad. So children, once again, what was it that Adam and Eve did that caused there to be a fall?
Was it that Eve picked a fruit from the tree?
Very true. So Eve picked the apple or the fruit from the tree that God said not to eat from. And then what did she do after doing that?
She took a bite.
She gave it to Adam, and Adam said, no, don't eat it, I'm not going to have it. Is that true? Unfortunately not. We know the rest of the story, and the rest is our history. But in Genesis chapter 3, as a result of their sin, this is what the Bible says. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. This is quite incredible. You see, this is the first curse to come upon mankind. There was a curse before that, but that was to the snake. But this is the first curse to mankind. And what is it a curse of? A curse of thorns. A curse of thorns that would inhabit the earth, including our very nice gardens. All because of the sin of Adam and Eve. What's even more incredible about this is that as Jesus went to the cross for that original sin and for our subsequent sins, that very same curse was placed on the head of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That same curse that came about through our sin was then placed on the head of Jesus Christ in the form of a crown. It's profound, isn't it?
Yeah.
That those thorns which entered the world as a curse became a blessing for our sake through Jesus Christ our Lord. A blessing of forgiveness, of new life, of great hope. A blessing of being made right with God. However, if we're not careful, just as it sometimes happens in our own gardens, we can too easily allow ourselves to become entangled once again in those thorns of sin. So even when that happens, what does the Bible say? Well, in Hebrews 12, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin, the thorns that so easily entangle, by fixing our eyes on Jesus. So as you take communion today, number one, let's give thanks that Jesus has set us free by taking that curse upon himself.
Amen.
But not just taking it upon in any way, but as a crown. That's amazing. Secondly, let us look out and think about any thorns that might be trying to wrap their way around the many blessings that we have in our life through Christ. Right now, Cherie's going to come up and pray.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for you, your love, for Jesus, his sacrifice, being willing to die on the cross for us, Father, so that we can have a blessing to take the curse that was upon us and set us free. Lord, we thank you for his love, we thank you for his sacrifice. We pray you give us the strength to live the life that he wants us to live, to honour and glorify you, to worship you, to love you and love one another. We thank you, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Melting. But I'm not going to complain, because the last 2 years I was here, it was raining. So we're going to make the most of what we have today in lots of different ways. If you have a Bible or something on a tablet or whatever you've got, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 13, that's where we're going to be just for a few minutes. Here, not for long, because we can all smell the barbecue amongst other things. We are going to be talking about joy today. Could you use a little bit more joy in your life?
Yes.
I think the whole country could use a bit more joy in its life. The whole world could use a bit more joy. And I know I always could use just a little bit more. Not that I don't have any joy. I have lots of joy because I'm married to the right woman. And many other good things. But we can always use a little bit more joy in our lives. And sometimes we have to understand where that joy really comes from. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, because what if incredible joy was on offer and you didn't know it existed, or you knew it existed but you didn't know how to get it? How frustrating that would be to miss out on incredible joy. So, I believe that there is, and I think all the people here that have a faith in Jesus Christ believe, that there is a secret to life that makes everything make sense, that gives us the joy that nothing else in this world truly can. Many things are pleasurable, many things are fun, lots of things are exciting, but there's a special joy that comes from knowing why we're here, why we exist, and what happens when we die. We'll talk about that a little bit here today. In Matthew 13, verse 44, just one verse for you today, so we can all remember it well. Verse 44, that's just the one we're going to look at. So Matthew 13, verse 44, and it says this: the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Treasure hidden in a field. When a man, or for this purpose, I'm sure, a man or a woman, when a person finds it, when a man found it, what did he do? In his joy. He found the treasure. In his joy, he went and sold all that he had. Not some of what he had, not most of what he had. He didn't liquidate his pension and his stocks and a few other bits and pieces, but all that he had. and bought that field. Can you imagine the feeling of knowing when he bought the field, he sold everything, he got his money, he'd gone to the banker, whoever it needed to be, and he'd given the money, he'd given everything he had, and he got the title deeds, he got the contract, and he was signed, and he was sealed, and he's like, I've got the field. What do you think the first thing he did was? He went back to the field, didn't he? He went back to the field, and he went back to the spot where he found the treasure, and he had not only found it, but he'd hidden it again. He dug it up, he noticed it. It was like a freshly plowed field. Maybe he found it. It's like the guy who found the treasure hoard in 2009, I think it was. What was the chap's name? A chap with a metal detector. Terry Herbert, that's right. He found the Staffordshire hoard. All this Viking or Roman or Viking a treasure, £3.2 million worth. Wow. He was had a little metal detector. You could buy those for £25 from Maplin. I don't know if you want to go treasure hunting, £25 from Maplin, and you'd go out and he went to a freshly ploughed field, he got the farmer's permission, and he heard a ding, 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 and he dug it up, and there was £3.2 million worth of stuff there. He went and talked to the farmer, and they agreed to split it. I mean, they came to an agreement with the relevant authorities, and they said, you can keep this amount of money, and they got $3.2 million to split between them. I mean, how excited was that man that day? He found the treasure in that field. He knew where it was. It was that field. He wasn't going to forget where that field was. He wasn't going to let it out of his sight until he got that treasure. You know, we're in a field today, aren't we? Here we are in a field. What if there's treasure here? I mean, maybe there is. I know. I need the preteens to help me with something here. So, have we got any preteens in the house? I mean, in the field. We have. Okay, preteens, could you come up here with me for a second? Because I got something I need you to help me with. Preteens, male, female, whatever you are. Okay, preteens. I can see only boys. Where are the girls? Come on, girls. Oh, girls. Are there any preteen girls? There are some. One, two, maybe more. Okay, three. Excellent. Thank you very much. All right. Now, what do we have here? Okay, we have some. Now, there is. Guys, there is treasure in this field. There is. Now, I have one rule. You can't kill anybody looking for the treasure. Okay, so I tell you roughly where it is, and then you can look for it. And there's a few bits of treasure, and there's one particular piece of treasure that's like the top piece of treasure, and there's general treasure, all right? And the area where it is where everybody's sitting right here on these chairs. So, no, that's not it. Chairs. Look at the chairs. In this area, you will find treasure. So look around. Adults, you might have to move yourself. You may have to be a little flexible here. It's somewhere in the chair area, all right? In these blue chairs right here in front of me. Where is the treasure? Can anybody find the treasure?
I found it.
What have you found?
I found a chocolate.
You found a chocolate. You found a chocolate coin? Excellent. Any more? Another chocolate coin, a chocolate coin. The special treasure, though. There's one piece of special treasure somewhere. Where is it? Who has found it? No one's found it yet. We've got some chocolate treasure. We've got some chocolate coins. I'm not telling you what it is. You've got to find it. And that's a little bit damp. That.
He found it already.
Who's got it? Who got the special treasure? You got that. Can we see it? What is the special treasure? It is a fidget spinner. Not an ordinary fidget spinner. What does it do?
LED.
It's an LED fidget spinner, my people. Thank you.
All right.
For any of you that didn't manage to find treasure, I have some small treasure in here. Who didn't find any treasure? It's so cruel. Okay, one each. All right, enough here. Oh, let's see. It's only for the people who did not find treasure.
Can I switch
it? And if you not, there you go, boys, little one. There we go. Treasure. Is there any better treasure than chocolate? I have to ask. Okay. Okay, smallest ones first, because I'm running out. Are you small compared to smaller? That's my last one. I am so sorry, but you had two. You had two. Okay, one more. Okay, I'll make it up to you. Okay, we'll go to the cafe later, and I'll get you some chocolate.
You can have this one.
All right. There's another one there. Do you want that one?
You want this one?
Look at that generosity, right? That lad deserves a prize. Excellent. I respect the parents who brought up a child to be that generous with chocolate. Just checking. You don't have a chocolate allergy, do you? No, okay, just checking. Well done. Thank you very much. Did you see, now listen, did you see the zeal on their faces?
Yeah.
Did you see the excitement? Did you see the, I don't care if I have to tell an adult to get out of a chair, it's going to happen because I need to find this treasure. All of us are like that with some things in life. Maybe it's not chocolate for you. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's the career. Maybe it's the acquiring of certain things. Maybe it's gadgets. Get us excited. I have to confess that every now and again, when I'm a little bit bored or in between things, I do find myself browsing the Apple website. I already know what the gadgets are. I just like to go and look at them again. There are certain things that grab our hearts. The truth is, I think we all know that all of the nice things that we have, and they're nice, and God means us to enjoy the good things of life. That's fine. But we know that none of these things really satisfy the soul, the deeper part of us. Mm. And so what Jesus is encouraging us to do is to say there is something called the kingdom of heaven that will satisfy you in a way that nothing else will. And if you don't know what that means, and I don't have time today, if I took the time to explain all of that, we'd all be here still at tea time, and you would be angry with me. So I'm not going to explain what the kingdom of heaven is now, but I want to encourage you, if you don't understand what that is, to find out. Because if it's enough for someone to sell everything, to get, to have such joy that they would do that, then it's worth doing. It's worth finding out more about that. Here we are on July the 2nd. Do you know what's special about July the 2nd? It's the middle day of the year. We've had 182 days, and there are another 182 days to go. This is the middle day of the year. Now, you've had one half of your year. That's a little scary. Okay, I know. You've had one half of your year. What will the second half be like? Might this be the pivot point for a special time in your life, that this might be, the second half of this year could be a day when you understand the kingdom and you understand why someone would sell everything, do whatever it took to get it, and would have that joy. If this treasure is as good as Jesus says, if this treasure is as good as I claim, it's worth your full effort and your full commitment to find it. We have an opportunity, and I encourage us all to take it, for there is no joy like finding the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you so much for what we've been able to enjoy here today. And thank you that you've given us a wonderful day, not only of sunshine, but also of the food we're going to eat, and also of our friends here today. And it's just wonderful to be able to celebrate. But we know, God, that all of this comes from you. And we thank you for it, and we pray that you'll help us to always prioritizing seeking the kingdom of heaven. To know that while many other things are enjoyable, there is only one thing that truly satisfies the deepest desires of our hearts and our understanding of what happens in the next life. Father, help us to seek the kingdom. Help us to love the kingdom. Help us to find that joy that you have to offer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks very much.
The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song.
Majesty, glory, sing your praises loud. James, just want to welcome everyone here to our outdoor service in Wellington Country Park. It's a prestigious occasion. And my name's Ben.
And my name is Anne. It's nice to see you all.
There you go. And it's a wonderful day. We've got the sun out. It's awesome. And me and Em just wanted to share some of the things we really appreciate about the church. One of the things I appreciate is all the great sermons and things that the preachers and speakers each have said in my life to me, and I think many of us, that I think have just really made our lives richer and better in so many ways, and ways in which we've seen God, maybe a portal into seeing God better, and really our lives being better because of that.
Amen.
Yeah, and so for me, what I really appreciate about church is just all the like happy and smiley faces that we have, and just how we can all come into an environment like this on like an incredible day. Like, I mean, the sun is incredible right now, and it's just really nice being able to see so many familiar faces, so many people that we don't know but we want to know. And I just think it's awesome being able to like come to church and come together today and have great food, great chats, and just great company, and just be able to like make friends with one another. And I know for me, that's something I super value. It's just really nice being able to just come and get people to ask me how I am and just know about me, and it's just lovely. And so I just encourage all of you to make sure that you're just talking to one another, getting to know one another, and just having like an awesome day today. So yeah, welcome everyone.
I heard one good word there, and I'm sure all the guys heard the same thing, and that was food. As we know, we do have the world famous barbecue after this, so I'm going to read a Bible verse about barbecues. So Psalm 34 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." So I hope today we'll taste the barbecue.
Indeed.
You know what I'm saying? But I also hope that...
In Isaiah 55 it says, "Come, all ye who are thirsty, come to the waters. And ye who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what is not and what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David."
Thank you. Please bow your heads with me as we pray to God. Father, we come before you. We're so grateful for
communion or the Lord's Supper shortly. Before that, we're going to sing the very well-known song, Amazing Grace. Well, stay seated for this song. And if I can encourage us just to think and meditate on these amazing words, and it'll prepare us to hear what CJ has to say about the Lord's Supper in a few moments. So, Amazing Grace. The words are on your song sheet.
Some things